Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We teased this before the break, BT, and you mentioned it. See, I'm not sure. We don't know what the lineup's going to be. And based on prior lineups, I can't trust Aaron Boone and the Yankees to do in what would, in my opinion, be the right thing. I don't believe you can sit Austin Wells now. If this were a month ago, a couple of weeks ago even, whatever, you can make the case. I would let my eyes tell me that Wells just gave a tremendous at-bat last night in a big spot. We know what his offensive potential could be. He hasn't been a problem catching so far in these two games for the Yankees. He's got to be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And that would be my concern, is that maybe Boone decides to go Wells, Rice behind the plate because they like the way he calls a game, Goldschmidt at first base, and no Austin Wells, which is not as big of an issue to me, but it would also show that they're still too reliant on matchups and analytics as opposed to just going with the gut feel, where Wells is warm right now, mm-hmm. at the very least warm, maybe even hot.
Well, I mean, I wonder how much the couple of hits Goldschmidt had the other night factors into this. It's one thing to look at the numbers, feel good about a matchup, lefty, righty, counteract that, and obviously Goldschmidt's former MVP. He's not that player anymore, but he's very smart. And he delivered. It's not like he went 0 for 4 with two pop-ups and two whiffs. He had a couple of big hits to right field, even though the Yankees lost. So I think that's going to be a little bit of a tougher decision for Aaron Boone. There's no way Ben Rice is not playing. And to me, I need to see Austin Wells tonight as well. I do. He's a good catcher. People look at Wells and they see power and they see strikeouts. And from an offensive profile, I think he's very easy to read. I don't think enough people realize Austin Wells is really good behind the plate. And even if he was only average, he's better than Ben Rice behind the plate.
Right. So, exactly. I don't like Rice defensively, period. But then that would bring you to Stanton, which you keep talking about. Instead of taking him out of lineup, maybe put him in left field and sit Grisham down. Like, really?
But Stanton in the outfield?
No. I'm just saying, if he were capable. I mean, they did do it in the regular season.
Okay, I got you.
Well, my point is, offensively and even defensively outside of Stanton, like, Grisham's hasn't done anything. Doesn't mean he can't get going tonight. He's had a monster year. But
he's looked terrible.
Okay, he's looked terrible, and his track record outside of this year shows you that, you know, it's not like Grisham is some world beater. Like, mm-hmm. Ben Rice, terrific offensive player. Goldschmidt was an MVP, for goodness sake. Like, and he mashes lefties. Giancarlo Stanton, we know the damage that he could do. Austin Wells, we know what he could do. So I'm not trying to knock Grisham. I'm just saying that in a perfect world, if Stanton could be functional in the outfield to a point where you could trust him, maybe then he would be the odd man out of the lineup tonight. But that's not the case. So now you have to make a more difficult decision. Is it going to be Rice? Is it going to be Goldschmidt? Is it going to be Wells? Who's going to be, obviously, I don't think Stan, but you could throw him in there too. One of those guys is going to have to be out of the lineup. And to me, it would not be Ben Rice under any circumstance. And I would leave Wells catching. I think the right lineup tonight would be with Stanton at DH, mm-hmm. Rice at first base, Wells catching, obviously Jazz in there. Exactly what you had last night.
Okay, so I was jotting some stuff down as well. I mean, the constants here, and then we'll hit the variables. Obviously, Jazz is playing second. Obviously, Volpe's at short. Belly's in left. Grisham in center. Judge in right. So, 5 of the 9 slots filled. So it comes down to first base, as you said, even third base, would you let down this in this equation?
To me, because that's insignificant, really, but yes.
And DH it, and obviously catcher. So the easiest thing for me to do is pencil in Wells behind the plate and Rice at first base.
Right.
That's easy. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy for Aaron, but it's easy for us, all right? Third base, I would be okay with Rosario tonight.
I'm fine however
I really
he plays
would be.
It,
yeah. Or even Caballero, even though you like him off the bench, which I get
but,
coming
but
in
But either
late.
Way, I wouldn't make a big stink over it, whatever it is.
The thing that, and I don't know that Aaron's going to struggle with this because, you know, just the way he talks about, you know, Big G and the way he's revered in that clubhouse and the propensity to have these big moments. I'm almost guaranteeing that Stanton's playing tonight. But I got to tell you, just looking at his swings, if it's me, I'm considering benching Stanton and DHing. And, well, then at that point, right. I would DH Rice and put Goldschmidt at first base. I really would consider that.
That is another option. Now, that's a ballsy thing to do.
I know.
And it's not to say that it couldn't work out. It's
also a better defensive alignment as well.
Right. No, there's a lot of positives there. I myself, as much as I am a Giancarlo Stanton detractor, meaning like he's a nice person, I think he's a great fit for New York, I just don't like him in the player because of exactly this. One day he's hitting four home runs in a game. The next day he's striking out five times. Looks like he couldn't make contact with water if he fell out of a boat. So I just don't like, and he can't run, he can't field. Like there are a lot of negatives to me that outweigh the positives. However, the positives of Giancarlo Stanton against a lefty, he is on your team. You want protection behind Aaron Judge. I would not. I'd rather see him go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts than have him sitting on the bench and get beat by somebody else not doing their job.
Okay, but the other thing we've got to factor in, and I don't know. I wish I knew more about this kid. I mean, I gave you guys a little profile, the kid Connolly early.
Yeah.
He's young. Went to West Point. Did not know that. That's pretty awesome. He went to West Point for 2 years. Then he transferred. Maybe James Madison. Whatever.
He's young. You love that stuff.
I eat that. Especially if it's a local school. In the military, which I love. You know. So Connolly Earle, he's 23. He's a lefty. He's gone 20 innings this year in the pros. And he's good. And he was dominant at double and triple A. But I don't know if he's going to be long for this game. So the risk that you run, if you make it all about setting up the lineup to deal with a lefty, and he's out in two innings. Well, now you're kind of caught, all right, in the early to middle frames. Now I got to fire some weapons. I might not want to fire that early. So if you're Aaron Boone, do you just say to yourself, okay, I think we can get him out of the game early, and based on what they have, they'd probably go to a right-hander next early. And then we just have those lefty sticks lined up.
See, I think that's... I'm not saying that they won't think along those lines. I think it's thinking too much.
It could be, but you got to factor it in. You got to at least consider it.
It's game three. Play your best players. Play what you believe is the best lineup. Not based on matchups. Right now, what's the best lineup? And I think you can make a good case that right now it would be without Giancarlo Stanton. I'm just saying that in an ultimate game, I'm going down with Big G swinging.
Yeah.
As opposed to having Paul Goldschmidt in there. Mario is calling from Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, great show, guys. How you doing?
Thanks. What's up, Mario?
What's up, man?
Yeah. Three quick points. I'll tell you them, and then I'll listen to your responses. Number one, I think the biggest reason both games were won and lost was the bullpen. Game one, the Yankees did not produce from the bullpen. Game two, they did. Number two, it's time to give Stanton Volpe. Let's get off the case. We were all wrong. He shouldn't have went down to the minor leagues.
No, Mario, two different things here. First of all, you can speak for yourself and say what you think. Don't say we were all wrong. I believe I was right that he should have been down in the minor leagues. But it's a different story. So, and Volpe had an awful year. So who's wrong about criticizing Volpe's year?
Well, what's he doing right now? So what's he doing right now? What's he batting in these two games? Is he batting in the two games?
But I don't understand what your point is.
No, but if going down is going to help him,
What is your point? Two things can be true. Volpe sucked in the regular season. Volpe should be the starting shortstop in the playoffs.
Right, but I think going down wouldn't have done him any good. Well, that's my opinion. You have your opinion. We're allowed to our opinion.
Well, staying up here didn't do him any good.
Well, what's he doing right now?
Oh, my God. Mario, what's your next point?
My last point is this, and it's very interesting because nobody ever really realized it. In the opening game with Fried, when he went out with 105 pitches, there was a point in time in the fifth inning. If you noticed that the way, watching the TV, the way they were showing the balls and strikes, they had the system where it says K on it. You don't have to look yourself to see if it hit the line. It says K. So you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had one at bat where he had two strikes on a guy, and he threw two Ks that they call balls.
There's no doubt.
And then after that, he walked two guys, and he threw another 18 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So if he didn't throw those 18 pitches in the seventh game, instead of at 105, he would have been at 83, and we wouldn't have had a problem, and they probably would have won.
They've
got to start using that system all the time. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Thank you, Mario. But they're not, first of all, when the ABS system, whatever it is,
is
put into play next year, it's not going to be that way. Like, oh, boom.
No, you're only going to have a couple challenges. Yeah. That's it, though.
Yeah, and it works both ways, too. I saw the Red Sox get screwed with that.
That was an interesting zone the other night where I thought he was really, really good. Some higher ones were tough, but I thought he was consistent. And that's what you want. Like, you just can't, all right, don't call the up pitch a strike early and then suddenly, you know, lose it. If you're going to establish some sort of parameters, you got to be consistent. I thought the ump in game one was good.
Yeah.
He missed a couple to the caller's point, but he's human.
Now, I'd be more with Mario. I'm just telling you what is going to happen, not what I would want to happen. I do think we are at a point now, like, I don't even want to see it. I don't want to watch that box that says K on it if the call is not going to be right. Because all that does is make me more angry. You know what I mean?
Well, it should
have been a strike, but the umpire called it a ball. Well, then what are we doing here?
I know.
If you have the technology to where you can have that box and say that it's a strike, but the ump got it wrong, then you should just be able to fix that. Like, I don't want to see that. So either get the boxes off the TV or implement a system where it can be immediate and you have balls and strikes called that way.
I got to come clean with something here. Now, it's funny how everybody's brain works differently. There are times when I'm looking at that and I'm like, is it a strike? Like, the angle, I know, like, when part of it is in the box, it's like lit up and it's... But it's almost more confusing the way they tilt it and flip it. Right. Does anybody else get confused with that?
I mean, I don't know what you mean by tilted and flipped.
Meaning, like, it's never a head-on shot. Like, if it's a borderline 50-50 call, they show it coming in. It's almost like a 3D presentation. Yeah. And I'm not claiming to be the most brilliant person in the world, so maybe this is just a me problem. But my brain is spinning. I'm like, all right, I think that grazed the zone. And I think that I finally figured out what it now means. But it took me a while to figure it out.
And maybe I was confused. Maybe I just didn't care enough. Like, I see it last night. Not when they go in depth behind some of it like that on ESPN. I'm assuming that's the one that does it most often. But when you're watching the game normally, and the guy throws a pitch and it flashes white and has a K in the strike zone, and they just move on to the next pitch, but the pitch was called a ball, I'm like,
that's annoying.
It is annoying.
Thanks for letting us know you messed up. Appreciate it, buddy.
I want to know. I'm watching it not to see what it should be or what ESPN thinks it is. I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
And even last night, I'm watching the Austin Wells at bat. One of them might have been the one where you get the big hit. And I'm watching it, and it's saying in the bottom, one of the bottom boxes, like one for, it says one for two, but I'm reading it thinking that it's one and two.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, there's a strike, and I'm like, he got him, sit down. And meanwhile, it's like strike one, or whatever it is, because it's showing Austin Wells is one for two for the game. So I get confused sometimes by those graphics there, because there are all these different networks, they all have it differently.
Yeah.
SNY is different from YES, and both of them are different from ESPN, and that's different from Fox or TBS. Point is, the strike zone, I do think, needs to get cleaned up. Maybe next year will be a step in the right direction, but it is not going to solve all the issues.
It's definitely not. One thing that I think every network should add here, and it is a little confusing, and it's such an important part of baseball, when you have, and we've seen a lot this series so far, 8, 9, 10, in the case of the Red Sox game 1, 11, 12 pitch at bats, I would like to, they give you the pitch count. They give you the pitch, you know, cutter, whatever it might be, sweeper. They give you the mile per hour. They give you the pitch clock going down. I would like to have, now this is also now a lot of numbers, and maybe it would be a little bit too busy, but I would like to have very presentable the, not on the first or the second, but like if you get past five pitches, let us know how many pitches that at bat has accrued. I think that that's actually important. If you think about, all right, hey, maybe he's going to take this pitcher out because he's had a lengthy at bat here. What's he going to throw? They don't do that. It's, I don't know, it's just a little observation on my part. But to me, you know, when these guys have 7, 8, 9, they foul them off. Like, that usually determines what's going to happen that inning. It happens all the time.
One last thing on the Volpe thing. Let's not be taking bows here after two games. It's two games.
Yeah.
Man, he's looked good.
He played well last year, though. Yeah, I think that's part of the ammunition for the last caller.
I mean, maybe
in the postseason last year.
Fair enough. He's also had some god-awful at-bats in the postseason in two games.
The one last night was a 3-0 count.
Yeah.
And he almost had like a checks that was that was an ugly at bat.
Right. All I'm saying is, and I like Volpe. I want to root for Volpe. As long as he's not a defensive liability. We said this before the postseason. I would rather, there was a push to have Caballero be the starting shortstop. Volpe, after getting that shot, leveled out to a point where I thought you had to play him at short. He is their clearly best option and his upside, as long as he's not a defensive liability. But that doesn't mean that sending him down to the minors wouldn't have benefited him from some point. We don't know. It's a hypothetical because it never happened. What we do know is he stayed up here and it was a disastrous year three. Nobody can argue that. Disastrous year three off of, and I'm being polite, an inconsistent first 2 years.
I also think that, and I agree with you on that. I mean, both things could be true, as you said to the caller. I didn't want to send them down. I wanted to bench them. We've had this discussion a lot. But you had to do something. Well, everybody was in the camp of maybe we shouldn't run them out here every night to keep, you know, Cabin bleeding out in front of our eyes. But I think for me, what's become very identifiable with Volpe, at the very least, is he's got fortitude and he's resilient. Because this year was, you know, and I know Gallo heard it and Hicks heard it and some other Yankees along the line. I mean, he heard it at a level that was deafening. Like, and if he didn't have some stones or some fortitude, as I said before, I think he may have cracked and maybe would not have recovered. So I don't know ultimately what his ceiling is, but I'm pretty confident saying that he's got character. And I'll start with that. You know, that's a good starting point.
Steve is calling from New Hyde Park. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, BT? What's up, Sal? Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Steve.
I feel like the Yankees need to ride or die with their best players. I feel like Ben Rice, Wells, and Jean-Carlo Stanton need to be in this lineup tonight. You could bring in Goldschmidt, man, as defensive replacements, and maybe have, you know, Caballero off the bench as a bench runner. My question to you guys, I think the Yankees might regret not placing Luis Hill on the playoff roster, just in case to piggyback off of Cam Schlittler tonight, if they Schlittler doesn't have his stuff tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have Will Warren. And I said that, Steve, and I think that that's an interesting observation. I guess you missed the show the other day. I brought that up. That was when, I guess that would have been on Monday, when the lineups came, or the rosters came out. I was like, wow, no Luis Hill. Now, what the Yankees are obviously doing, just because Max Fried pitched on Tuesday, Rodon on Wednesday, Schlittler tonight. So Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, obviously that would just be on 3 days rest if the Yankees move on to the divisional series and play Toronto. So Fried's obviously not starting game one. At that point, it would be either, if Warren doesn't get in the game tonight, it would be either Heal, who would then be on the playoff roster, I'm very confident with, or Warren. But, yeah, I understand. Like, Blackburn is not going to see the mound unless it's a route, whereas at least Luis Hill, now he's got a propensity to walk people. So, I'm not fully confident with him, but his stuff is, when it's on, it's elite. And I'd at least like to have that weapon coming out of the bench. Like, if there's bases juiced and all the other arms are tired, you need a strikeout and a double play. Like, Luis Hill's going to give you that more than Blackburn. I was surprised he wasn't on the roster.
Yeah, I was not. We went over this. Like, I think it was Tuesday when the rosters came out. But either way, just because they're having their... Heal's probably going to start game one of the next series, so they want to just keep... There's no point to getting him in. Blackburn being on the roster is a waste, unless it was a blowout one way or another in game one or game two, instead of, you know, saving your better arms.
Yeah, just like by using
Blackburn. Yeah, you're not going to see Blackburn now. Exactly right. So tonight, you're not going to see Blackburn at all in that game. One quick thing, though, we're talking about, well, I want my best players in there and have Goldschmidt on the bench, and maybe you could use matchups. Hypothetically, Chapman, ninth inning, mm-hmm. Yanks are down a run. Ben Rice's spot is up. Are you pinch hitting Paul Goldschmidt for Ben Rice?
Is there anybody on base?
Whatever you want. Whatever you think is a...
I ask you that because I would have pretty good confidence that Goldschmidt can, you know, bang one to right field, keep the train moving here. I always do this with you. I'd like to see what kind of at-bats Rice has tonight. Right. I would say no. Ben Rice is swinging the stick.
So the point is that there is no situation. If that is your take, and that would be my take as well.
Yep.
I'm not sure what the Yankees think. But if that is your theory, there is no situation where you would want Goldschmidt in the game other than a defensive replacement late would they leave.
I would pinch hit him for Wells, and I would pinch hit him for Grisham. There are other spots
so
I would send him
in,
out there
you
tonight.
You pinch hit him for Wells,
uh-huh.
And then you would move
if you
Rice
have to Rice behind the plate. Goldschmidt go to play first base. I'm not saying I wouldn't use Goldschmidt at all.
But then if you're going to say that, then you could also make the case if you think he's a better option offensively than Wells.
Yep.
Then you could just have him start and have Rice catch.
That's why I present that. But I also don't know how long this young kid's going to go tonight, and I don't want to. It's not like, listen, even with Crochet, there's no guarantee, but you had a pretty good sense just based on Crochet's dominance that he's going to be in there for a while, and Goldschmidt would have multiple at-bats against Crochet, right. which is a favorable matchup more so. You don't know if this kid Earl is going to get banged around in the first, and then it's just another stream of righties, and then you wouldn't necessarily want the righties against Goldschmidt. So there is a lot to consider here.
I think, I don't know this, but and I haven't even seen anything like if Jack Curry or anybody's tweeting about a potential lineup, projected lineup. I bet that they're going to play Goldschmidt at first and catch Rice and have Wells benched. I wouldn't do that, but that's my gut is telling me that that's what Boone and the Yankees are going to do.
Now, Rice has caught Schlittler. That's part of the, you know, the math here as well. I know Curry said that last night on the postgame show, that he has caught him, and that matters. It's not like it would be a blind, like, oh, Austin Wells always caught Schlittler. You could be right. I don't love it.
It's not a huge deal, but Wells had two hits last night. Like,
I know.
You can make an argument, and defensively I would worry about Rice, whether it's pass balls, whatever it may be. Like, defensively I worry about Rice a little bit, but you can make the argument that it's better off with Goldschmidt getting multiple bats against a lefty starter, and you get better defense at first, and they can live with Rice catching. Like, they like Rice catching.
I know. And Rice is actually a much better catcher than first baseman. Like,
yeah.
And if, I mean, all these things are stringing together. Wasn't one of Wells' hits off of Matt's, off a lefty, that little nubber to left field? It was, right?
Right? Rice, I remember that, like, you're talking about.
Rice had the nubber, where he beat it out, and Bregman came in barehanded and threw across. I almost got him. It was a hell of a play by Bregman because that ball was spinning. I'm talking about Wells. I feel like he didn't rocket it, but it was like a five-hopper to left field that cleanly went to the outfield. I want to say middle frames because Mats was in there, right around there. It's not incredibly important. I just bring that up because I thought that he had a good at-bat against a lefty. Not that Mats is, like, early or certainly Crochet, but we'll see.
BT and Sal, the Fan Warrior calls. We come back, 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, this is why the best of three is exciting, but also to me, BT, it does set the stage for, you know, the teams that aren't the better teams throughout the course of the regular season or at a disadvantage in a shorter series. Now, nobody's going to complain about that. It is what it is. That's why you want to win the division. Think about all the stress that you've had the last two nights. It's been fun watching these two games, but all this stress could have been avoided had the Yankees won the division. However, if they win tonight and move on, no harm, no foul, other than not having home field throughout the rest of the playoffs, you're in the same spot you would have been if you did, in fact, win the division, taking on the Blue Jays, and maybe better off because you got that momentum and the feel of beating a good Red Sox team.
You got the momentum, but what you don't have is a rested bullpen. So no matter who wins tonight, Yankees or the Red Sox, Toronto's going to have an advantage. Now, that's going to dissipate a little bit as the series gets deeper, but that first game in Toronto on Saturday, game number two in Toronto on Saturday, I mean, unless Schlittler goes eight tonight or their guy, you're going to kind of limp in with a lot of high pitch counts and a lot of tired arms, which is fine when you go on fumes trying to close out a series.
Full off day tomorrow.
Yeah, but I mean, think about, listen, Bednar's pitching. So at least I would think between Bednar and between Williams and Cruz and Weaver.
Yeah.
And I think we'd all prefer Weaver's 4-4 in that situation, though Cruz might be a little tired. At least two of those guys are pitching tonight, unless the Yankees win, you know, 11-3.
My bigger question would be, how effective will they be after consecutive days? I feel like Williams will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I worry a little bit about Bednar being susceptible to giving up a home. Yeah, I mean,
in terms of not trusting him or being tired.
No, well, both. I mean, you saw what happened the other night when he was fresh. He gave up a run. So, like, you give up one run, that could be it. Closers have no wiggle room generally. I mean, unless you go in there with a 2-3-run lead, they'll be fine. But I just worry about their effectiveness. And we could probably look this up. Hoff, Alex, maybe you guys could look this up. How many times this year has Bednar or Williams pitched in three consecutive days?
Oh, God. I would have to. I don't know what they did with the Pirates. How many leads do they even have? So with Bednar, probably not. I can't imagine Devin Williams did it more than once or twice.
Three straight days?
There's no way. Every time you watch the games on Yes, they've got that chart in terms of who's available. Like, you know, oh, he pitched Tuesday, Wednesday. Then there's like an X saying that he probably can't go tonight. I do have something interesting on Whitlock for you. I was doing a little this is more of an Evan thing.
Yeah, I saw a little numbers that you put out there last night.
This could be very important tonight. So, all right, Whitlock threw 42 pitches on June 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time he pitched after that was on June 29th, 6 days later. Now, they're not chasing a wild card win in June, but still, it gives you a little context there. 6 days to recover from 42. He threw 47 last night. In July, the most pitches he threw was 24. In August, the most he threw was 23. And in September, the most he threw was 22. So last night was a massive deviation from how much he's used.
Yeah.
He's going to be dead tired. I don't even know if he could pitch tonight.
No,
honestly.
No way.
They could throw him out for a batter.
I would be stunned based on that. I mean, that's a Red Sox problem because if the next time we see Whitlock pitch, it's going to be irrelevant to us because it's not going to be against the Yankees. He's either going home or the Yankees are going home. So there's no way. I would think that he's 100%, 1,000% unusable tonight.
I wouldn't say 1,000 for a batter. I mean, it could be, it couldn't be a batter. It would have to be three.
Right.
So that's true, too. Yeah, I mean, it seems incredibly unlikely he's going tonight. And the other thing that's a big advantage, Yankees, the other thing that's advantageous to the Yankees is that they've pretty much seen all their relievers. Now, Boston's kind of seen their guys as well, but the Yankees have had looks and have been in the batter's box, so they've seen pitching tendencies and stuff. If the Yankees don't hit tonight, I'll be very disappointed. Put up a 6 or 7 spot. Let's go.
I was just going to say, if they don't hit, not that I'm going to say if they don't hit, they're going to lose the game, but this is a night you have to hit. The Yankees bats have to hit. If they hit, they will win this game. If they don't, now you're playing with fire, playing, to your point earlier, BT, playing into the Red Sox hands here.
Yeah.
You do not want this to be a tight game. Not with the Yankees bullpen being in the state that it is, where A, you don't really trust it to begin with, and B, it'll be the third straight game where you have to use your best guys, so how effective will they be? The Yankees, it is imperative that they mash tonight. That's what the Yankees do. This is the third, fourth best option even for the Red Sox here. Their bullpen arms, the best ones outside of Chapman, maybe not available or at the very least tired. Yankees have to score some runs tonight.
Very quick, because we've hit so much. You know, who's going to play first? Who's going to catch? Who's going to DH? Even though it's probably going to be Stanton. All the different machinations. If you are, in your opinion, not what you think Boone will do, what you would do, Yankees up 2 or 1, it could be high scoring or low scoring. You're giving Weaver the baseball tonight?
I don't think they have a choice. You do get to some point where, Schlittler going right to Williams again?
No, how about you use Will Warren? Unless you're playing. Now, they haven't even said that Lewis Hill would start Saturday. Unless their plan is to start Warren, I'd rather see Will Warren than Luke Weaver.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Is it the bottom of the order? Even though they did that and they put him in a position to succeed and he couldn't get through. I guess. So your most trusted arms outside of Bednar and Williams, who we'd all agree are the most trusted.
And I like Cruz. I'm a big fan of Cruz.
Yeah,
you know that.
I don't know this. I would bet that they're probably not going to go back to Cruz again. Energy that he used last night.
What, by yelling?
Plus pitching the night before.
How many pitches did he throw? Come on, he can pitch.
Plus pitching the night before. Well, he had to work to get out of that. Like, it wasn't any. How many did he throw last night? You have it up there?
No, but it was less than 20.
Yeah.
Right? Because the bunt was popped up pretty soon.
All right, maybe he is available. I worry about his effectiveness as well. It's not like I trust him 100%. You want to just go back to that well where it's going to be Schlittler to Cruz, Williams, Bednar? Fair enough. I'm not sure that gets it done. You have it, Alex? How many pitches he threw last night?
No. So I have Bednar has thrown for 3 straight days, only once this season with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Devin
3 straight
Williams
days.
Did not.
At all. Okay.
At all.
Okay.
Devin Williams did,
He did 3 straight games, but not 3 straight days.
No, right. So it's 3 straight days. All
Let
right.
Me
so
give
thank
you the
for that, Alex.
Cruz. Yeah. Good job on that, Al. I'm saying it was under 20. Let me just give you the quick confirmation. Here we go. A little box score.
I mean, nor should they have had to throw 3 straight days. It's just a rare thing to have to do.
He threw 16 pitches. The kid's young. He's not kids. I didn't know he was 35 years old.
But he also pitched the night before.
I know, but he's at 240 pounds. He's got those thick legs. He's good. Come on. This guy, he's the kind of guy who walks in first today and says, Skip, you need me? I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Whatever you need tonight. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, I guess. How many did he throw? What he threw the night before?
He threw the night before. I get it for you as well. So 16 last night.
He threw 15.
There you go. So 31 pitches. Come on.
I mean, back-to-back days. One
so
is
what? Great.
What do you mean so
put much? Him out there. That's my guy.
Yeah. Good luck.
Dude, he's got massive stones, man. Bruce?
I mean.
Comes in with first and second, nobody out.
Oh, he's a reliever. Congratulations.
Yeah, but how many relievers, you know?
Oh, a lot. Come in with first and second and nobody out and get out of it? A lot.
Really?
It's their job.
In the playoff, in a do or die game?
It's their job.
It's their job, but a lot of them fail. I love him. I've also loved him.
Yeah.
I've talked about Cruz for a while. About him. I respect his tenacity.
And I'm not saying whether I like him or not. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's the third straight day. So, like, are they going to go back to that? Well, now, the question's going to be, would you rather Cruz, let's say, on three straight days,
or
Warren, or arrested Weaver? Like, yeah. Weaver's the only one who's rested.
I know. There's just something about him. I just don't want to see
him. You're not going to see
him. Forget about Duval. Okay. Get out of here. Duval, go watch the Jaguars. That's where he can go. Duval County. Stop. He's not pitching tonight in a big spot.
BT and Sal, the Fed. Jim is calling from Johnson City, Tennessee. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. What's going on today?
Yep. What's up?
Gentlemen, hey, I'm praise the Lord, Yankees won. I'm a Yankee fan, diehard, 55 years old. Grew up going to the stadium with my dad. Now living in Tennessee, obviously. But ask me or just contemplate this. Jazz gets to home plate on that ball hit by Wells.
Mm-hmm.
What did Wells do? Pick up his pom-poms when he got to first base? Why is he not on second?
I said the same thing. He should have been on two.
He's got to be on second. Yep.
Volpe hits a base hit. He could have scored.
I know.
We got to get everything we can get in these games, man. I don't understand how that he just – I don't know, man. You know, that could have come back to bite them in the – you know what?
Yeah. I brought it up. Now, the only thing, and thanks for the call there, Jim, it's a good observation. Now, when I put that out on social media, a lot of people were like, wow, you don't risk it, whatever. Or some people even said, the first base coach probably hit the brakes. No, I finally got a better angle where the first base coach was basically doing nothing. And then you see Austin Wells, you know, messing around with the dugout. I get it. You're fired up. I also, to be fair to Wells, there's also a calculation where ball's coming in. It was a hell of a throw, by the way. If that thing's cut and you get tagged before the run scores, I mean, you're going to get crucified. But because if you look at the way Jazz came in, the tag, the catcher's back to first base, he's got to be at second. Once he's safe, then you got to go.
Let's do the projected lineup when we come back. What you think, you write down what you think it's going to be, not what you think it should be.
Okay.
Let's try to guess and see who could, I don't know if we're going to get it before we get it off the air because the 8 o'clock start, we probably won't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, just try to guess what we think Boone and the Yankees are going to have for an all-important elimination. Go home. Winner, go home. Game 3 tonight at the stadium. More of your calls when we come back as well. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, you like that song for Fernando Cruz coming out to the Lion King song?
I love the movie. Yeah. Don't love the song coming out. Yeah. Nah, it's a little, I mean, it's primal, which fits his persona.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
also a big fan of, you know, the man upstairs, I guess.
I like that.
They were like, hey, how about Jazz last night making that play behind you? He's like, well, Jesus was more important. I'm paraphrasing here.
But he did say that.
Basically what he said.
He did say that.
Jesus helped me out before Jazz.
Hey, say what you believe. Yeah. I got no problem with that. That's good.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm a fan of that. And whatever, to each their own. I'm not sure I'm a fan of that song coming into a game here. But either way, let's give the projected lineup. All right, who do you want to go like one for one?
I made it quick. Right as we were coming back to the music, I made an adjustment. So.
Okay.
I gotta make sure I've got every position. All right, and I've got the order. That's one.
Okay.
Give me one second.
There's nine.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, buddy. Let's see. Do I have two third basemen or do I have one? Why do I think I'm missing?
One third baseman, one.
All right. Yeah, okay. I think I'm missing somebody. Left, center, right?
Hmm.
I may just mess this up. All right, let's give it a shot. All right, come on. So we'll go one for
Okay, go ahead. Give me, who do you got?
I've got Goldschmidt at first base leading off.
Same. So we're equal there. Now, again, this is not what we would do. Mm-hmm. It's what we think they're going to do.
Yep.
Goldschmidt leading off.
I've got Judge and Wright playing batting two.
We're two for two so far.
Okay, kind of like the baseball card game. Two for two. Yeah. I like the way that sounds. Yeah. Bellinger in left batting third.
Okay, same.
You have the same thing.
Yes.
This is where we're going to probably differ.
Correct.
I've got Rice DHing.
I've got Stanton DHing hitting fourth.
Okay. Okay. I've got...
So you got Stanton out. You think...
I've got Stanton out.
So you think they're going to have... Not your line.
Yes,
you think they're going to have Stanton out.
I do. Okay. And I would do that. I think that they're going to react. His at-bats have been bad.
Okay.
And he doesn't bring anything else to the table. And no disrespect. I love him. But he doesn't look like... He's out of it. Number five, I think they're going to have Rosario.
Wow.
At third base.
Wow.
To start.
Okay. I mean, if they do that, I'm going to rip. I'll tell you now, I'm going to rip Boone to shreds if they do that. Win or lose tomorrow, that would be embarrassing. I'm going to go Rice, catcher, five. So far, we're in alignment. Mm-hmm. Goldie, Judge, Belly, top three.
Yep.
You have Rice four at DH. I have Stanton four at DH. I think they're going to go Rice five catcher against the lefty.
Okay, so now I get to the sixth spot. Jazz playing second, batting six.
We are in alignment there.
Now I'm going to go mix up a little lefty edge here. I'm going to go Volpe, move him up to the seventh spot at shortstop.
Same.
And I'm going to have Wells behind the plate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth.
Okay.
And I've got Grisham.
Okay, so I went Grisham eight in center field. I'm going to say that they're not going to have Wells in the lineup. And they're going to go either Rosario or Caballero. I was thinking about that. I really don't know. Like, that to me would probably be based on matchups. It can't be against his pitcher. I'm assuming this guy's thrown, five games in his big league career?
Yeah, like 19 innings, yeah.
Yeah, so I would, to me, I think Boone likes Caballero better, meaning that he can impact the game in more ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure if he values that more so coming off the bench, or does he want to save Rosario for a pinch hitting spot? So,
we got the answer in game one. Because if he valued him coming off the
bench, both of them in there.
I know, but I think that of the two, I think that he thinks that Caballero's a better third baseman
than
Rosario.
So then I just don't know. Either one of those to me would be batting ninth and playing third. I'd probably lean Caballero.
Yeah.
Meaning I would lean that they would lean Caballero. I would probably start Rosario so I have more a weapon of Caballero off the bench. But either way, so yes, I think the Yankees, I think when we get that lineup today, it's going to be Goldie, Judge, Belly, Stanton DH, Rice will be in there, but as catcher, so no Austin Wells, Jazz, Volpe, Grisham, and then either Rosario or Caballero.
And the big difference for me, I've got Wells playing, he better, and I've got Stanton sitting, which I think they'll do. That's where I've got the least confidence.
Against the lefty, though, man.
He looks terrible, man. I mean, he's a guy where you can read his swings, and he just looks lost right now. It would be a ballsy move, and I know they love him, but he just doesn't look like he's bringing anything to the table. I would say, but I think that they will, more importantly, because we're doing what we think they would
do. Go ahead, Off.
All right, so if this was a longer series, like a five-game series, it was game three, and you saw his first two games, would you sit Stanton then, or just because it's a do-or-die situation?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. I would think that they would give him more room to find his swing with more of a cushion in case he doesn't find it tonight.
Right, there is no tomorrow.
Is no tomorrow, Ron.
What are you? Were you a little sick or something? You sound a little nasally.
Hey,
yeah, I feel like crap.
What, you got like a cough?
No.
Well, what's going on there? Because I don't want to get sick here. You got Boomer walking around here sick.
Oh, Boomer's
Everyone's
sick?
Been sick.
Oh, Boomer's been sick, I think, for a week and a half here, at least. Maybe a couple weeks, no? Isn't he had the sniffles
he
and coughing?
Did. My wife was sick. I was in the Giants locker room and some of those guys were sick.
Oh, no.
Where were you last night?
I was at a hospital, but I didn't get sick from that.
His son.
Hospital.
Gashed his head open here. Not good, Hoff.
Little lamb.
It's not my fault, though. My wife made it my fault.
What?
I wasn't even on the bench. She goes, why weren't you there? I go, well, I'm not one of the coaches. I kind of sit to the side.
But he's all right now.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's moving well. He's great.
Of course you're going to get the brunt of that. When you
really?
Go, no matter what, the wife is going to make it your fault.
Really?
Yes.
Is there anything more frustrating when you really get... And when they get angry and you really didn't do anything wrong, like that is the most unwinnable spot.
You mean like 99% of the time?
I understand if I did something wrong. What's that? I'm sorry, what?
Like 99% of the time? Like we don't do it?
Yeah.
You know what I did?
Yeah, last night. Wow.
You'll love this one, BT.
Yeah.
And Hop, you know what I did wrong the other day?
Woke up.
pretty much. Pretty much. I asked my wife how her day at work was.
No.
She just started like working from home. Like,
I know. She was telling Jen.
Okay,
they were texting the other
day.
So
she's got to make like calls. It's like a sales thing, whatever
it
may be.
Sure.
So I'm like, now, like, I really don't care. Like, no. I'm happy that she's happy.
You know
what I mean? Like, no.
Care about the paycheck. That's all you care about.
I'm happy that she's happy, and I care in that regard. But
yeah.
In my mind, I'm doing the right thing as a husband, saying like, oh well, how was work today? How'd the calls go?
Yeah.
So I'm asking that, like, in each day they had the conversation. Oh, how were the calls? Look at me showing you, the husband, caring about what you're doing today, even though I really don't. Like, I'm doing the right thing
pretending.
As a husband. And she counters with, you know what, can you stop asking every day about work? I'll let you know, because she's, I think, a little frustrated with maybe the way the calls have gone here so far. I'm like, all right.
I'll let you know when it's a good day.
All right, fair enough. I'll let you know when something breaks the right way. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm getting strays for trying to do the right thing here.
Yeah.
To lose.
It could be worse. You can get some of the calls we get from some people. You really have a tough day.
I get the opposite, Sal. I get the opposite. Usually when we get on the phone with me and my wife, I talk about you guys. Yeah. And then my wife's like, you don't even care what I do. I go, no, I do. I just forgot to ask.
Yeah, every 2 weeks when the paycheck comes in. That's what I really care. No, and I it wasn't as bad, but my wife got a little annoyed at me yesterday, too. She does a little real estate, right?
She
just sold them. I'm really proud of her. Right. Really a good thing, right? And she had the closing yesterday, right? So she was busy with the kids were in school.
Yeah.
She was busy with that. And then I guess she went to look for a new couch, which is going to, of course, cost me a couple of $1,000s.
Sure.
There was some sort of communication that was a little bit off, whatever. And she's like, she didn't bite my head off the way apparently you had yours bitten off with that.
Yeah.
But she was a little bit like reflexive, like, you know, I had a long day, you know, because I was home later and she thought, where are you? And meanwhile, I'm bringing home food. And she's like, I had a long day. I was looking for a couch. I'm like, I have a long day every day. I got to get up and drive to the city and drive home and battle this lunatic next to me, and battle callers, and then go and coach basically every night. All right. So you had one tough day.
Get me to the Yankee game tonight, 8:08.
Men and women, they are so different.
BT and Sal, the fan.
But we need them.
Tyler calling from Trouble, Connecticut. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, you boys are going to get me a show with my wife. I got about 10 minutes of stuff to talk about, but you don't want to hear that.
Air it out.
Hey, let's go Yankees.
Yes.
Hey, BT, I'm gonna give you props and I'm going to kill you.
Go ahead.
You're absolutely right on that Jazz Chisholm steal at second base when he scored. He wasn't hustling at all.
Nope.
If he got thrown out there, all we're talking about today is getting him out of town.
Yeah, and by the way, and I'll let you get after me too, obviously, but just to follow that up, like, everybody's focusing on the StatCast number, which was 9.1, which is the best in the StatCast era. That's not the point. It's not always the result. I mean, if he gets thrown out by a tick and the Yankee season's over, he is getting absolutely crushed.
100%.
Yep.
And hey, real quick, Tom Coughlin said it best. When we win, the players win. When we lose, the coach loses.
Okay.
You just killed Rodon today for, you know, for Boone. You killed Boone for leaving Rodon and giving up the home run in the sixth inning. But yesterday, Max Fried, you know, he gets killed for taking Max Fried out.
Yep.
So he gets killed for taking the pitcher out, going to the bullpen, and then he gets killed for leaving the starter. And, you know, you can't win this.
No, hold on,
it's
though. But Tyler, it's not about winning. It's about just kind of reacting to the different mentalities of each pitcher. Like, and I am a huge Rodon fan. Like, I've really jumped in his corner, even a little bit last year, but totally, he's been terrific this year. I just trust Max Fried more, so I'm going to have a different opinion on Boone handling Fried versus Boone handling Rodon. It's as simple as that.
I hear you 100%. If you're on Yankees Twitter, you're on baseball Twitter, that's what it is. Boone can't win.
Yeah.
He does the, you know,
well, if you win by win the World Series, you could win. Then you win.
Managers are like husbands. We can't win. And thanks for the call, Tyler. No manager can win. That's what I'm saying. Even last night. So I just would not. It's only me. This is how I feel. And I've said this consistently forever with you and even before you, BT. Like, I do not make my decisions based off of results. Or I would not criticize based off of results. Last night, I think a lot of people are basing it off of the results, meaning that if Rodon, or if Cruz would have given up the runs that Rodon let on, everybody today would have been ripping Boone for sticking with Rodon too early. And by the way, that can still be your thought process before the results. Like, you could say, I don't know. And a lot of people could say, I don't know, man, he doesn't have it. I'd get him out of there. But because the results were effective, nobody's harping on that.
Yes.
Whereas if I didn't like that decision, I would be saying he made a mistake there and got away with it. Me personally, I didn't think it was a mistake leaving Rodon in. That's just one example.
I was good with the first batter. I was not good with the second batter. And by the way, this has to be part of the calculation. And I'm sure that it was, but I don't know if I would have cared. killed Boone, but I would have been on him. Like Cruz, who's got nasty stuff, and he's throwing the splitter a little bit less, but he does have a penchant to walk guys. So if you're going to bring in somebody, if you're thinking about bringing somebody in, and he was obviously warming up, and he has sometimes bouts with control issues, right? Well, then wouldn't it make more sense to bring him in with just a man on first rather than a man on first and second? Right. Because if he's wild, he's got one open base rather than two. Now, that's a little bit of a next level nitpick, but that's what I was thinking.
Fair enough, but his gut was saying, let's see what he got one more. Yeah. And then it was, okay, well, now definitively there was nothing left for anybody to argue for Rodon being in the game.
Not at that point. He was shot at that point.
Correct, and that's why I like it. You couldn't argue the other way of saying, you could have squeezed another out of your starter. I want the starter to get knocked out. He was knocked out last night definitively, and then Boone went to the pen. That's why I had no issue with it. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.